Welcome to Let's Get Into It,
the podcast where we get into relationships, careers, and community. I'm Katrina Joe.
And I'm Sarah, and we are your hosts. So let's get into it.
Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. For any sponsorship requests, please visit letsgetintoitpod.com.
Stay tuned for more great content. And remember, as good neighbors, we protect what matters most. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We are going to talk about trauma, but in a different kind of way. Mm-hmm. So Sarah and I are no strangers to trauma, unfortunately.
Yeah, and we laugh about it now.
Yes, like... I'm so happy we're able to laugh about it now. But I think trauma is more so viewed as like these big catastrophic things that happen in our lives. You know, it could be, you know, someone passing, it could be, in your sake, you've experienced an accident. It could be things in relationships. It could be, you know, different, like kind of like huge life events that we go through. But I came across this post on Instagram from this, self-care, and mental health service called Monk Notion. And it really stood out to me because as we are women that love to do a lot of, you know, self-reflecting, mm-hmm. you know, self-work in order to heal from certain things in our past or even in the present, whether it is traumatic or not. One of their posts talked about examples of trauma that are often dismissed, and it could be certain things that are kind of looked at as like everyday, ordinary things that can cause reactions or can cause trauma reactions from everyday people.
Right. And when you sent it to me, I was like, oh yes. Like we have to talk about this because I think it's so ingrained in our daily life that we don't look at it as trauma because the word trauma, like you said, typically is something that's a larger problem, right? It's a major breakup, a divorce, an accident, something bad, right? And it can also be something that happens so frequently in your everyday life that your body is having a trauma response to something, like you said, that's pretty standard.
Yeah.
You know, something you could experience walking down the street.
Absolutely.
So the second you sensed it, I was so happy you found this.
Yeah. And one of the things that they listed is being told you shouldn't experience or show certain emotions. And when I first read this one, it brought me back to a time when I was at a funeral, actually. Mm. And I was told not to cry. And I was like, oh, and I was a little girl and I'm like, I'm not supposed to cry. Like, I'm really sad.
Oh, you were young.
Yeah. I think I was like 9 years old and I was like, I am so sad. And, you know, then it was like, okay, I can't cry. And then, you know, God forbid if I had to go to another funeral, I was like fighting with myself on if I could show these emotions of sadness or not. And I think that, you know, not only relates, you know, to women in different capacities, but it also relates to men on a larger scale where I feel like men are constantly told like, tough up, you're okay. Mm-hmm. You don't have to feel that way. Like suck
don't
it
cry.
Up, all of these things. Yeah. Don't cry. Basically just to mask their emotion that they are the strong one. And mm-hmm. as we now in this day and age where mental health is such a huge topic, it's proven that telling men that to, you know, kind of hide their emotions and not deal with things have caused a lot of traumatic responses and a lot of traumatic ways that men have healed, the way that they're able to process their emotions, the way that they're able to relate to women in relationships. And that is a trauma response.
Or they haven't healed.
Yes.
They could have also taken action because of these things.
Right.
You know, and like, I know for me, I was talking with one of my guy friends and I was going about hearing him and helping him entirely wrong for him. And I didn't recognize it because I thought I was just helping him, you know? So I was like, it probably wasn't that bad. I'm sure you know that you're over-exaggerating what happened or whatever. Cause I was trying to kind of bring him down from the heightened place he was at. And he told me, he's like, you're making it worse because you're not validating what I'm feeling. And I just need you to hear me. And I was like, wow, thank you. Because I didn't recognize that by saying that I was actually worsening the problem, right? I was part of the problem when I thought I was helping. And so I've now internalized that and been like, okay, I need to make sure that I validate my friends' feelings, because all of my friends, because at the end of the day, they're being vulnerable enough to tell me how they're feeling. I have to appreciate that and not try to give guidance, especially I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. I don't have any, you know, business in telling you how to heal.
Right.
You know? And so I feel like the trauma that could, and the trauma responses that could come from that, like I was the one person, let's say I was the one person they felt comfortable coming to. Right. And then all of a sudden I'm like, you shouldn't feel like that. I'm sure you're, that is the worst thing I could have been doing, you know? And think of how many people are hearing that from their parents, from their coworkers, from their other friends, from their teammates, from, you know, everyone. And eventually if one person hears it, they're going to stop talking. They're going to stop telling people how they feel.
Right.
You know? So yeah, I think that, you know, people's responses to even like a small emotion needs to be appreciated, and you need to take it and validate it and say, you know, I'm so sorry that I made you feel that way. How can I fix it for next, you know, whatever it is that you need to say. But I think people need to be more cognizant of their responses to people that are coming to them vulnerably from a place of vulnerability. Sarah Dictionary, can't speak. Yeah, but I thought that was a really good one, because it's something that happens literally every day to people.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, who are we to tell the next person that they shouldn't be feeling a certain way? Like everyone reacts to, you know, an experience in their life differently. And like, sure, you can speak from experience that can sometimes help someone else, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, they have to go through it the way that they have to go through, and they have to feel those emotions as well.
Yeah. And feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one that was interesting was being frequently overly criticized for how you do things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like this is one that you can touch on.
I mean, yeah. I mean, with, you know, my background in dance, we grow up to have thick skin very early on. As a dancer, you basically sign up for criticism all the time from your dance teachers. I mean, that is part of rehearsal, is like being told corrections and fixing it over and over and over again, your body and whatnot. So I will say in that area, I used it. It wasn't traumatic for me. I used it in a way of like, okay, I want to be better. And it was more empowering on that forefront. But on things that I feel that sometimes people are not as confident in, you know, it's like if you're trying a new skill tomorrow and all you're getting is criticism, you're going to naturally want to pull back. You're going to want to naturally pull back to a place that feels safe. You're going to want to hide under your shell. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to be timid. And that can be a traumatic response, you know, or a traumatic experience. And your response to that is pulling away, you know, like dimming your light. I mean, I'm sure there's time that you've seen someone, your friend with, you know, a partner, and you're like, that person kind of dims their light. And they're not realizing.
Never.
And they're not realizing it at the time, because, you know, it's not something that is so big, right? It's not something that's like a huge, you know, traumatic incident, but you can notice it on someone, and naturally, you know, they may go years of dimming their light, of pulling back to where they feel safe, of being small, right? Of keeping their voice in, and all of these things, where 2-3 years from that point, they're like, I don't even feel like myself. I don't know. I don't even know who I am anymore.
Yeah. They lost themselves.
And that is trauma, you know, and even, you might be criticized in the workplace. You might be criticized in, you know, you say you pick a workout partner and you're hoping that they're, you know, motivating you, but instead they're criticizing you all the time. You may, you know, slowly start to be harder on yourself. You may not want to go to the gym. You may start overeating. Like, all of these things can cause trauma in very little ways that, you know, when you're overly criticized, you just, I mean, at least for me, I just want to crawl into my shell and sit on my couch and eat ice cream and not talk to anyone and not do anything. So, you know, you want to look at that as like, wow, like that is trauma in some degree. You know, who are we to say which trauma is bigger than the other? But, you know, we want to make sure that you can give someone constructive criticism to where they feel empowered and they're not dimming their light and making themselves small just to interact with you right. in the space that they're in, you know, try to flourish in a new workplace or a new skill or, you know, around a new group of people. And I'm sure this has hit home with so many people coming out of quarantine.
Oh,
we're like, you know, we didn't socialize. We're home all the time. We're not really talking to a lot of people. And all of a sudden you get back out into the world and you're just hearing like, do better. Don't do this. Don't do that. Da, da, da. And it's like, holy shit. Let me step back. This doesn't feel safe, you know?
Or even in quarantine, if you were quarantining with someone, right? And you weren't with them all the time before, and suddenly you are, you know, why did you put the fork in the drawer that way? Why did you load the dishwasher this way? Why do you chew so loud when you're chewing? Why do you do that? You know, you're snoring, whack them in the face, like things that someone's doing all the time and they hear it consistently, it's going to have an effect on them.
Yeah.
You know,
even with that, like there is a thin line between moving in or living with someone and you guys are adjusting to each other. And it's like, hey,
of course.
That. But if it's just like constant and there's no like love or empowerment or anything ingrained in that or weaved in that,
right,
so the balance there, it can be traumatic for someone that like every time they're like, oh my gosh, every time I step into this room, mm-hmm. someone's going to say something. I don't know if I did this right. And then they're stressed right. about the way that they look or the way that they, you know, are they prepared? They're overthinking everything like that. Those types of habits, we don't always are, you know, we're not always aware that those are, you know, trauma responses.
And that your actions are shaping the way that someone else is going to carry themselves. And like you said, take something into work or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, like I said, these are things that you don't recognize as trauma until you see it in front of you. And you're like, oh my gosh, you know, like actions have reactions.
And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, besties. Have you ever wondered what's in the products you use on a daily basis? L, like the letter, is a brand committed to providing you period care products inspired by nature, made without dyes, fragrances, and synthetic pesticides. Their pads have a breathable cotton top layer and plant-based core, and their tampons contain an organic cotton core. Not only can you feel good about Elle's ingredients, but also Elle's price. With tampons and pads that protect for under $5 a month, you guys, Elle believes access to period care is not only a fundamental right for everyone, but an opportunity for change as well. That's why Elle is on a mission to make exceptional period care accessible for all by providing funding each year to nonprofit community-based organizations around the world, focused on period care accessibility, menstrual health education, and employment opportunities. So if you're looking for a brand that aligns with your values of giving back and using products inspired by nature, look no further than Elle. If you want to learn more about their mission or browse the full range of products, visit their website at thisiselle.com. And the next time you're in the period care aisle, look for Elle pads and tampons. Choose love, choose Elle.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hi, besties. Today we have a special message from our sponsor, State Farm. Did you know that State Farm offers more than just insurance? They're all about being there for you through life's ups and downs. Whether you're renting your first apartment, buying a new car, or starting a family, State Farm has the coverage and support you need. And let's not forget their exceptional customer service. With State Farm, you're not just a policy number, you're treated like family. Plus, State Farm agents are local experts who understand your community and can help you navigate the complexities of insurance with ease. So if you're looking for insurance coverage that's tailored to your needs and backed by a company you can trust, look no further than State Farm. Oh, another amazing thing State Farm does is support entrepreneurship and local community efforts. They've even teamed up with the NBA to donate money for every assist made across the regular season. State Farm is also committed to investing in topics that uplift African American communities because they believe in stronger, smarter neighborhoods where everyone has a platform to share their stories. Here at Let's Get Into It, we love supporting businesses that encourage entrepreneurship as well as community outreach efforts. Visit statefarm.com or contact your local State Farm agent to learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. This episode of Let's Get Into It is brought to you by McDonald's. Okay, guys, we need to talk about something. Have you experienced the McCrispy from McDonald's yet? The combination of the juiciest crispy chicken with those incredibly crispy crinkle-cut pickles gets me literally every time. Basically, if you see me eating a McCrispy, don't even try to start a combo. I mean, you can try, but right now, this McCrispy is my priority. Well, I guess the word is out. Go get yours today. No, like right now. What are you waiting for? Calling all heroes, Coca-Cola and Marvel are teaming up to release limited edition Coca-Cola products featuring your favorite Marvel characters. Collect them all to assemble your own Marvel universe. And be sure to scan your Coca-Cola for a chance to win super-powered prizes and unlock powerful AR experiences. But act fast, fans. These collectibles won't last long. No purchase necessary, open to legal residents of the U.S. and D.C. who are 13 and up. Ends on June 30th, 2024. Visit coke.com/Marvel24 for official rules. This episode of Let's Get Into It is brought to you by Mickey D's. All right, I'm just coming at you with some facts here. You have to order an extra fry to make up for all the bag digging that you do on the way home. I'm sick of coming home and having no fries. So what am I going to do? I'm going to order two fries, one for the car and one for at home, because no one's grabbing one fry at a time. Like, that's just not realistic. So I just want to share that idea with you guys and let you, you know, do with it what you will. Everyone's got their own Mickey D's moment. Go on and make more delicious memories.
Yeah. And I think that kind of ties into the next point, which was one that, you know, you can be overly criticized and that can make you feel one way. But then if you are not seen, you know, if you're also not seen for the real person that you are, if you're not being heard, and, you know, when people say like, oh my God, I finally feel seen. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so empowering, and you can like relate and empathize with that person. Like, you know how that feels when you are in a room, when you're talking to a friend, when you're with a loved one, and you're like, wow, I feel seen. Like, we all know, and I hope we all know how good that feels. So on the other end of it, to not be seen for who you truly are, to have to dim your light, to have to be small, to not be able to get your point across, you know, to a friend, to a boss, to a company, to, you know, a significant other, it can be very challenging.
Absolutely. I mean, especially, you know, you brought up work, like, this is something I've personally been through. And anyone that's listening that dealt with me in my last probably year and a half in LA, I apologize again. I know I've done it before on this podcast, but, there's a level of, it gets so like complicated on how to say it, but there's a level of consistently being overlooked because of being a woman or because someone finds you attractive. And like, for instance, at the club, like getting hit on all the time when you weren't asking for it is not as glamorous as it sounds. And there's times where I'm like, I'm here to work. I'm fucking great at my job. Like, do not disrespect me by coming at me that way to try to get around me doing my job. Mm-hmm. And consistently that happening over time and no one stepping in and like supporting me in that almost made me take on bitch like qualities, and over time became a bitch. And it was never the intention. I don't believe it's in who I am. Can I be bitchy? Everyone can. But like, I was to the point where like, I don't think I would have wanted to work with me. I don't think I would have wanted to do business with me. Now, I was doing a really good job. Like, I was killing it, but I wasn't my best version of myself. And that was a response to consistently over the years, one, having people consistently saying things to me, and two, feeling like I had to step up and act a certain way to get the job done that my male counterparts weren't having to do. And that's coming from clients, and that's coming from the people I worked for or with, I should say. because there was a level of, well, you're a girl, so we're going to put you in this position. And it's like, nah, like that doesn't flow with me anymore. Like, yes, there's moments in time where we can use that to our benefit to get, you know, maybe a difficult client. Maybe there's a way to like say something from a more feminine perspective that can maybe shift the way that someone's looking at things. There's ways that we can like empower ourselves as women to get things done differently. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about here. These are the moments where it's like, no, this is not okay. And I'm having to deal with this and push through this. Even when it comes to people you work for and them literally not respecting you the same way they respect the guys, that affects you.
Yeah. Like
that affects you getting paid differently and being well aware of it and doing more than the other person and knowing it's because you're a woman affects you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And that kind of trauma over time, how do you not become a bitch?
Like, yeah.
You know? And so it's that kind of a thing is like, embrace who the person is and elevate them. You're going to have a better, more empowered person working with you and on your team, you know? And I think it's important to recognize that as a trauma and a trauma response. Like no one wants to be a worse version of themselves.
Yeah.
No one sets out to do that. But if that's the response, and if you're recognizing that, step in and be like, hey, I noticed some things are shifting and changing. Is there anything that can be done here to make your experience better? And if so, like, let's work on those because I can see a shift in you. Like, I feel like that's how leaders need to be.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully, you know, that change starts to happen, but it's definitely something in a male dominated industry that women deal with all the time. I know I'm not the only one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard it and, you know, it's like women are often told in a male dominated industry to be stronger, to be this, to be that. You know, to be, you know, oh, you can't be so nice, you know, when you're working in a male dominated industry. And I personally just have never subscribed to it. And I think we've touched on it before in the past where I've definitely said that you can be soft and strong, you know, you can be feminine and strong. You don't have to, you know, pick up this bitch personality in order to be respected. Now, in some cases, I have seen it happen to women in the industry. And like you just spoke from experience, you know, you go home and you're like, yo, who the fuck? Like, you know, or that was so draining to put up this, you know, just because I want respect. You know what I mean? And so
yeah,
it can be, you know, it could be a lot. It could be a lot. And that in itself, you know, being told that and being around, you know, men and different personalities and different people in the industry and you know, having to keep up this, you know,
persona. Whether,
you know, persona or personality just because you want to be treated fairly can be exhausting. And in that, you know, in that itself, it could be, you know, trauma.
I mean, I used to say it's good because I'm a Gemini. And so all of the people who care about me get to see the positive side of me because I get my bad side out at work. What? Like that is how I justified it. I was like, it's cool. I'm a Gemini. There's two sides of me. The bad side of me is that's why I'm so good at my job because the negative side of my Gemini gets to flourish at work. Like I genuinely believe that that was accurate.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever heard you say that. That's nuts.
Yeah. Like I genuinely near the end of it, I was like, I'm a Gemini. What do you expect? Like my friends, my family, they get me like the positive side of me, but I'm doing really good at work because of this.
I will say I've never seen that, Sarah, but.
But you haven't had to.
Right, but I do know it exists through you and your stories.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it was one of those things where, you know, at the time it wasn't like affecting my life that much.
Yeah.
That I thought of, you know, I wasn't like
as you being strong.
I was looking at it almost like, survival. Mm. Like how do I maintain this insane schedule, because let's not forget, I was working like insane hours. So how do I maintain this schedule and still stay at the top of the game in this? Like, how do I, and it's hard, like there's competition all the time. People are fighting amongst the team, amongst other teams, amongst venues. There's a consistent like flow of having to maintain something. And I felt that pressure, which I think can be positive, having pressure to like work harder and be on top of your game all the time. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But in doing that, additionally dealing with the other side of it, is kind of where the tornado of the bitch side of me came out. And it was very healing for me when I moved home and kind of got out of that to look back and reflect and be like, damn, like I've apologized to people. Like, because even, you know, it was never the intention. It was never what I set out to do, but it was like the industry and the environment force fed that to me. Like there was no, I couldn't see another way out except, you know, what I ended up doing at the end. So yeah, I feel like, you know, and that's not to say that like some of that wasn't also self-inflicted. Of course, I felt pressures and I put certain things on myself, but as any woman in a certain situation, you are going to figure out how to survive, right? Yeah. And, you know, everyone figures that out and arcs a different path on their own. But yeah, I can speak for this one personally, where it was like, yeah, I did not feel seen in a lot of moments. And I don't think it's necessarily anyone's fault. I didn't speak up on it either really that much. And I feel like now I feel a lot stronger where I'll stand up for myself. Absolutely. I would say anything I want right now and say it from a place where I can be positive and feminine and still be taken seriously.
I love that for you.
Thanks, girl.
Look at you coming out on the stronger and brighter end.
Oh, just elevating.
Yes, your word of the year. Mm-hmm. Elevate. That full circle moment.
Full circle moment. But yeah, there's a lot, you know, and we're just touching on a few, you know, a few of the many. But I think it's important that people think about their actions and what they're doing. And could that be furthering someone's trauma or furthering someone's insecurities that then could create even deeper trauma? You know, we all should be just helping people. Like, let's try to heal and help each other. And even if it's just lending an ear, versus giving your opinion on something. I think it's important to kind of look at things like, oh, that could be a trauma trigger, because it could be.
And I think it helps to look at how you cope with things, you know, day-to-day things. How are you handling them day-to-day? And are, you know, the habits that you have to get through some of the simple tasks throughout the day, you know, are they responses?
Yeah. And are they pushing you to be better, or are they pulling you back? You know, that's a very good point. People could do that daily.
Yep.
Have a little check-in with yourself every day.
Absolutely. Check in with yourself on how to feed empowerment daily.
Oh, be full circle moments. Just don't quit.
Absolutely. Well, shout out to our Fed family.
Yes.
Our empowerment journey. And we will see you guys next week.
See you next time.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks to State Farm for sponsoring today's episode. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Let's Get Into It. We hope that you enjoyed it. Please make sure to like, comment, and subscribe on all platforms. For any inquiries or sponsorship requests, please visit letsgetintoitpod.com.